بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Let us try to answer a question. Why does one need to lie? Those people who have lied in the past or who have the habit of lying, if they ponder over that particular situation when they have lied or when they lie, they will come to this conclusion and only this conclusion, that we lie to safeguard ourselves from a loss or to acquire profit. These are the only two reasons. A person has stayed absent from madrasa or school, a student. The parents don't know because he had left home on time. The following day, the teacher in the school or the ustad in the madrasa questions, "Where were you yesterday?" Now the thought will immediately strike that if I say I was skiving, I will be in trouble. So to safeguard myself from this calamity, I have to lie. Similarly, a person goes for an interview and he is asked a certain question. For example, "Do you have experience in this job?" So he thinks to himself that if I say no, I don't have experience, or if I say that yes, I have but only 2 years experience, then I might not get this job. So to get the benefit of that job, he will say, "Yes, I have a 10-year experience or 15-year experience or 20-year experience." So if we put both these things together, that a person lies to save himself from calamity or to acquire some kind of benefit, if we put both these things together and make it into one reason, then the answer will be that a person lies to acquire benefit. Because to safeguard yourself from a calamity is also a benefit. Now, after coming to this conclusion that people lie to acquire benefit or to save themselves from calamities, the second question we need to ask is, which calamity is greater, the calamity of this world or the hereafter? Or which benefit is greater, the benefit of this world or the hereafter? When a person says the truth and he becomes the victim of a particular calamity by saying the truth, then in comparison to this calamity, the calamity of the hereafter that he has saved himself from, this calamity of the world is nothing. And the person who saves himself of the calamity of this world by lying, the calamity that has befallen him now in the hereafter is so great that he will only know his mistake when he dies and stands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the second question we need to ask. That the calamity we are trying to safeguard ourselves from by lying, is that calamity greater or the calamity of the hereafter, which will be brought by the sin of lying? And the profit that we are trying to acquire by lying, is that profit more greater or the profit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give by refraining from lying and saying the truth? And the third question that we need to ask is that who controls loss and benefit? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls loss and benefit, then how can one save himself from loss and acquire benefit by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What will happen, my friends, is that when we lie, and by lying we feel that I have saved myself from this calamity, that is an illusion from shaitan. Very soon a greater calamity is going to come in this very world, and by lying when we acquire some paltry benefit and we feel that, oh, my lying has given me so much success, again that is an illusion, because destruction is going to come very soon. A person who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot acquire benefit and save himself from harm by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is that possible? And out of the 99 qualities and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one is an-nafi', the benefactor, wad-dar, and the one who causes harm and loss. To explain this, let me relate a story to you of a very pious alim and scholar in India a few decades back when the British were ruling India. A dispute arose in regard to a particular piece of land between Muslims and non-Muslims. The non-Muslims were claiming the same land that the Muslims were claiming. Both parties had put a claim to the land, that this belongs to us, this belongs to us. The Muslims acted very swiftly, and during the night they carried out some construction. Which secured the winning of the case in the court. Because they had the possession of the land and the construction was taking place. So if the land belonged to somebody else, how come their construction is taking place? And overnight they worked very hard and somehow they secured the land. Eventually, the case was put forward to the court. English judge is listening to the case, and it was very near that the Muslims were going to win the case when suddenly a member of the non-Muslim said that there is a very eminent scholar respected by the Muslims who lives in this town or city. If he comes to the court and if he says that this land belongs to the Muslims, we will not hesitate in accepting what he says. But if he says that this land does not belong to the Muslims and it belongs to the non-Muslims, then the Muslims should hand over the land to us. The Muslims thought to themselves that how foolish of them to choose an alim, a Muslim alim, to come into the court and witness. Sheikh Ahmad Rahmatullahi Alayhi was called and summoned to the court, And he was asked by the judge, this land that is in dispute, does it belong to the Muslims or non-Muslims? So he said, I do not know whether it belongs to the non-Muslims or not, but I am 100% sure it does not belong to the Muslims. Now outwardly, at this precise moment, when the incident is only a picture in our minds, we are not present in the court, but outwardly, how does the picture look like? That by saying the truth, the Muslims have lost. The Muslims have lost the case. And not only have they lost, but they have been humiliated in the court of a non-Muslim. By lying until now, for the past 2 hours, 3 hours, the benefit that the Muslims were going to acquire, that land was going to come in their possession. And a masjid or a madrasa was going to be built upon it. That benefit is gone. This is the trick of shaitan. That if you say the truth, you will lose. And if you lie, you will gain. The case was lost by the Muslims. As soon as they come out of the court, they begin to abuse Sheikh Ahmed. That because of you, we have been humiliated. Because of you, we have lost the case. Sheikh Ahmed Rahmatullahi Alayhi replied that before I came, Islam was being humiliated. Before I came, Islam was being humiliated. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands that you must always speak the truth. And you people were lying. And alhamdulillah, by my coming and saying the truth, following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam was honored. And until my coming, you were losing. Losing in this world and the hereafter. Because the guilt that was in your heart, you would never have been able to forget. And in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have punished you. And when I came, I saved you from committing a sin and taking somebody's property unlawfully. By my coming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Islam victory. Because the command of Allah was uplifted and honored. This argument is taking place between the Muslims, and the non-Muslims are standing in the corner and discussing something amongst themselves. They were surprised that a person in the 20th century could be so truthful, and it was a matter of gain and loss. Between defeat and victory, between honor and humiliation, and so truthful. So they came to the conclusion that if somebody after 1400 years who is the follower of 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 Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be so truthful, then what about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself? A few minutes ago it seemed as if there was loss and no benefit. Now just look at the change by following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They all come in the company of the Shaykh and they say, Shaykh, after seeing your amal and your truth, we have come to this conclusion that if you can be so truthful, then what about your Nabi? Therefore we all accept Islam. They accepted Islam, and after accepting Islam they said that the land was in dispute when we were following different religions. Now that we are following the same religion, the land belongs to our religion, Islam also. So friends, my young brothers and young sisters, I appeal to all of you to make a firm resolution that from now on we will always speak the truth. Because speaking the truth gives us self-respect. It gives us respect in the eyes of the other people. It removes the guilty feeling that is in our heart. It gives us satisfaction, peace. It brings us nearer to Allah, nearer to Jannah. And lying humiliates us in our own eyes. People may not realize, but we ourselves will feel within our heart that I am a liar. I am a wretched person. I am so bad that I deceive people by lying. This tongue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me to recite the Quran, to say good words, I use it to lie. And it will take us away from the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the jannat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hereafter and in this very world. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, this is the hadith of Tirmizi Sharif, that when a person lies, then a foul odor emits from his mouth. We can't feel it. But this foul odor is so bad that the angel of Rahmat, the angel of mercy, that are always with believers, who take care of the believers, the angel of mercy, due to this foul odor, distance themselves from this person 1 mile. They run away, they go away. So in regard to every matter, we must always speak the truth. There are certain things which are very common amongst us, and we do not even accept that to be lying or saying something which is false now. For example, people ask for medical certificates when they are not sick. I want a medical certificate. Why would you want a medical certificate when you are fit and healthy? This is lying. And not only lying, deceiving people. So many people engage themselves in religious activities. Religious activities, and when you carefully study their situation, they have taken a sick note from the doctor that I am sick. And they are going for Umrah, they are going for Hajj. They are engaged in other religious activities. And they are using this false sick note to claim money from the government. Then there are those who are not searching for job, who are not looking for job. But every 2 weeks they go to the unemployment benefit office and they are saying, I am continually looking for job. This is also lying. Then there are those who are working and at the same time going to the unemployment benefit office and making a declaration that I am not working. Then there are those who are working for 40 hours and earning £200, and they are making a statement to the social security that I am working only for 20 hours and I am earning only £100. And through this method, they are again benefiting wrongly from the government. And the employer and the employee both are guilty, because the employer is supporting the employee. So when the employee is making this statement and it is supported by the employer, both of them are lying. Then references are written. A friend applies for a job and he chooses his other friend or two friends as referees. And these two friends know that he is not fit for the job, but still they give the reference that yes, he is fit for the job. Again, this is lying. When a person buys a car, he buys that car for £500 and he wants to sell it for £1,200. So he will say that I have bought this for £1,000 and because you are a friend, I am only taking £200 profit from you. This is also lying. Or some people will go to this extent that he has bought the car for £500, he wants to sell it for £1,000 and he will sell it to his friend saying that because you are a friend, I am not taking a single profit.
No, Prophet, I am giving it to you for the same sum that I have, 1,000 pounds.
Then there are those who are fully aware of faults in their items, shop owners, shopkeepers, or the person who wants to sell his car, he knows that there is something wrong with the engine, but he is saying, no, it's very perfect. I am only selling this car, I wouldn't have sold this car, but my wife is insisting that we should buy a new car. My family has grown, so I need a bigger car now. That is why I am selling this. So many places we lie, friends, and we are inviting the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were only some examples. And the parents are planting this seed in the minds of the children right from the childhood. Right from the childhood. How? When the child doesn't come to madrasa, that child brings a note from the father that he had a headache yesterday. And when the child is interrogated by the principal, the conclusion comes that my father took me out in the park yesterday. We are planting the seed right from the childhood. And then when these children grow up and they lie against our benefits, then we start complaining that my child is very bad. My child is lying. Right from the initial stages, we should teach them to say the truth. A sahabiya or a sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once said to a small child that, come here, I will give you something. Now we say this in the madrasa, at home, to the children, come here, I will give you something. And we have no intention of giving that child anything. Come here, I will give you something. And no intention of giving that child anything. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned that if that child had come to you, would you have given that child something? So he or she said, yes, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the item I was going to give. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, good. Because if you had nothing in mind and you were only saying this to the child to bring that child nearer, the angel was ready to write that down in your Namai Amal as a lie. This happens every day. Come, I will give you sweet. Come, I will give you chocolate. Here. Then so many times we frighten the children. Somebody is hiding in that room. Somebody has come to take you in that room. Now, this has two losses. Loss number one, we are teaching this child to lie. Because when that child grows up, or the 11-year-old and 12-year-old and 13-year-old, when they see our action with the small child, they know that we are lying. And that same child, when that child will grow up, it will begin to understand that, oh, my parents were deceiving me when I was young. So it is okay. And the second harm is that we are making our child a coward. We are removing the courage from our child by frightening the child from small items. The policeman is coming. The dog is coming. Islam encourages us to instill in the hearts of the children courage so that they are able to stand up for themselves. If we want to frighten our children, or if we want to take some work out of our children, we should put the greatness of Allah in their hearts right from the childhood. Allah is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after we go from this world, has two places. In one place, there are so many toys and so many good things, and in the other place, all snakes and scorpions and horrible things. If we lie, or if we mess about, if we don't behave, then Allah will put us in that place. And if we behave, then Allah will put us in that other place called Jannat. This is how we should train the child from childhood. We should set a competition that anyone who behaves throughout the day will get 3 sweets. And anyone who doesn't behave will get nothing. And follow it up. I have
tested this on many parents and it has worked, alhamdulillah. Because the psychology of the child, sweet is the most precious thing to a child. Small children, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, they will behave. And after that, you should motivate their minds that, look, you have behaved and I have given you sweet. And your brother did not behave, so he didn't get anything. And you should tell the other one that you did not behave, so you are deprived of the sweet. And your brother behaved, so look, he has been given a chocolate. Similarly, throughout our lives, if we behave and follow the commands of Allah, we will get too many things in the hereafter. And if we will not behave, then Allah will deprive us of the favors in the hereafter. This is the method of tarbiyat. But because we do not use this method of tarbiyat, it is always force. Do this, do that. And if we want to frighten them, then we frighten them with other things. Things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, or shall I say, in the Gujarati environment, most of the times it is the Maulana they frighten the children of. Then when they grow up, how will they have love for the Maulana? At the age of 4.5, 5, when they are put in the madrasa for the first time, the child cries. It doesn't want to go. So people come and they ask that, why is it that he goes to school very quickly and he doesn't go to madrasa? So I say, right from the time your child began to understand, all the time you are frightening that child from the Maulana. And now you want the child to go to Maulana? Until yesterday, Maulana was a deterrent for your child from messing about. And now you want the child to have love for Maulana? Some children, because of their early upbringing in the initial stages, when the parents keep saying, Maulana, Maulana is coming, Molsab is coming, I will tell Molsab, I will call Molsab. The seed of hatred is planted so strongly that even after they grow up, they have the hatred for ulama. Our respected Maulana Abdullah, Kapodravi Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, who is one of the patrons of the Islamic Dawah Academy, an eminent scholar of India, he was narrating an incident. He said, I was traveling by train in India and there was a mother with 4 children. And they were messing about too much in the train. She could not control them. So finally she had to resort to that same trick. Maulana is sitting there. And Maulana said, I was sitting in the train. Maulana is sitting there. So Maulana Abdullah Sahib said, I quickly got up. I went near. I went to the children. I took out 4 sweets from my pocket. And I gave one each to all 4 of them. And I said, your mother is lying. Maulana is not cruel. Maulana gives sweet. So he said, this is how I motivated the minds of the children. So I was saying that lying, this drifted away from lying, that when we lie to the children that Maulana is coming, the dog is coming, we are lying to the child. And there are many harms. So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, in every aspect of our lives, we will uphold this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not lie. We will say the truth. Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he did not go in the battle, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked each and every person, that why didn't you come? So he said, oh, I was sick and I wasn't feeling well. All the munafiqeen. These 3 sahabi, one of them was Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The 3 of them, they made a firm resolution that we had no excuse whatsoever, so we will say the truth to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, oh, Ka'b ibn Malik, what kept you behind? Why did you not come for the battle? So he gave a very good reply. He said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know that I am a very powerful speaker. I am very eloquent and I am very argumentative as well. If I want to convince you now by lying, I am able to do that. But if I convince you now that I had some kind of problem and I had a valid reason for not coming, then very soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create such means that will separate you from me. Allah will, at this moment, it will create love in your heart because I will lie to you and you will think that, oh, Ka'b ibn Malik has got a valid excuse. But if I lie to you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very soon will create some circumstance which will take your heart away from me. So I am telling you the truth that without any reason, I did not come in the battle. Allah said, okay, I leave your matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for so many days,
Nobody could speak to them. Nobody could speak to them. And there were many tests and trials. But eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted their repentance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now looks at them with total compassion. So, let us make a firm resolution that whatever the circumstances, we will always speak the truth. We will always speak the truth. Another, when we are going through the immigration or customs, that is another place where we lie and we deceive people. There are so many other places where we lie, where we deceive people. We must, if we feel that there is a room here for saying something which is not reality, there is no room to lie, but in other words, if I put it, that if we feel that there is a room here to say something which is against reality, if you feel that, then you should ask the ulama that, can I hear? Is it possible? So many times people take mashwara from us. People ask us that I want to give my daughter in the marriage of the son of that person. What do you think? Now we are 100% sure that that boy is not a match for this girl. But you say, it is a very good decision. If you are going to do it tomorrow, do it today. We are lying. Either tell the fact that that boy is not suitable for your daughter, or if we are afraid that this person may go and tell them that this person has made this comment, then say that, please, excuse me, I do not want to make any comments. I normally don't get involved in marriages. Make some kind of excuse and keep out of it. Why should you lie? And why should you, by your lying for one minute, why should you ruin the life of a young girl forever and ever? So many harms when we are lying. So inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He give us the tawfiq to always speak the truth, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to refrain from lying. The only way of learning how to speak the truth and refraining from lying is from now on. Whenever we begin to say something, think first. Think, is this truth or is this lying? Sometimes for our pride we say so many things which is not reality, bragging about something which is not reality at all. So inshallah, we will try our utmost to speak the truth. And before we say anything, we will think, is this truth or is this lying? If it is lying, then we will refrain from it, and we will take the outward loss that we can see, and inshallah benefit from the inward profit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give later. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the calamities of this world and the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the deceit of shaitan and nafs. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the truthful people. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.